But the Chodesh on today, Rosh Chodesh Shavat. I'd like to share with you two separate veraglach, which I think have the same basic message. The first is on the first pasuk of the Chamishi, when Moshe Rabbeinu calls together the Zekne Yisrael and says to them, Mishku ukuchu lachem tzayin l'mishpachay seichem mishachetu ha-pasach. He tells them the mitzvah of Karban Pesach with the language, Mishku ukuchu lachem. The Gemara understands to darshan this pasuk as follows. Mishku yedeichem e'avaydezara ukuchu lachem tzayin. First, pull your hands back from the Avodah Zarah, which many Jews have become accustomed to in Mitzrayim, and then Chulachem, and then go and purchase for yourselves a sheep for the Karban Pesach. In the Sefer Panim Yafais, he explains the question beautifully in a Derech HaHalacha. He asks that the sheep in Mitzrayim were Avodah Zarah, and since they were Avodah Zarah, they should not have been kosher, they should not have been suitable for a carbon. A navad, an animal just served as an idol, is not suitable for use as an avodah zarah. How did it become kosher? And he answers based on a halacha. In Masechtas Avodah Zarah, we find the following halacha, that if a non-Jew owns an avodah zarah, it is possible for that avodah zarah to become permitted through something called bittul. What is bittul? Bittul is when the guy, not the Jew, but the non-Jew himself, who is an idol worshiper, is mevatel the avodah zarah. He shows that he no longer believes in it, either by breaking it, by doing something to it which would show that he doesn't respect it anymore. And in any such type of action, he could render that avodah zarah something which is now permissible. One type of bittul is if a idol worshiper sells the idol to someone else who is himself not an idol worshiper. Someone who believes that it's an idol, that it's a god, would not sell the god to someone else who doesn't believe in it. Certainly not an animal, which the other person will kill. And therefore, when the Mitzrim sold their avodah zarah, their sheep, to a Jew, that itself constituted a bittul, which would make it mutter. But 1 minute. Sale only works as bittul if the person purchasing it is not himself an avodah zarah. If the purchaser is himself an avodah zarah, then the sale doesn't show bittul. Therefore, the pasuk mishku yedechem avodah zarah, first demonstrate that you no longer believe in avodah zarah, and only then kuchulachem can you go out and purchase for yourselves sign sheep for a carbon. A beautiful halachic interpretation. But we really have to add and stress that this was a tremendous achrayus, a tremendous responsibility on Klal Yisrael. The whole nation had to, almost instantly, between the time they were commanded and the time they purchased the sheep, they had to separate themselves from Avodah Zarah to the degree that it would be noticeable to all. That any non-Jew who looked at them would understand that these people were no longer Avodah Zarah, because after all, in their hearts, they were not idol worshippers. But if the seller thought that they were, that would not be a bittul. The whole point of the bittul is you have an idol worshipper selling to a non-idol worshipper. So this was the obligation of Klal Yisrael. Mishku, to pull themselves back from being Avodah Zarah, specifically at this moment, so that the carbon would be good. Based on this, we can understand something in Navi. In Malachim Beis, Perachov Gimel, we find the King Yeshiyahu, the last great king of Klal Yisrael. He started a tshuva movement among the Jewish people. And we find there that when he started this tshuva movement, it was right before Pesach, and he afterwards gathered the Jews together, and they offered a carbon Pesach, and the pasuk says, "Lainasa Pesach kazed b'yimei hashayftim." That this Pesach was so extraordinary, in the hundreds of years and centuries, there had not been any Pesach such as that. And we ask ourselves, what are you talking about? David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, they had Pesach. Certainly they were more knowledgeable and more mahadir b'mitzvahs than the generation of Yeshiyahu, which had just done tshuva. What was so unique and special about Yeshiyahu's Karban Pesach? And anybody who learns as part of Navi has to wonder, so many great kings were before him, what was unique about his? But now we can understand. The Karban Pesach of Mishku Kulachem Ani David Avodah Zarah. That was something David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech's generation didn't do. Yeshio's HaMelech generation did it. The beauty of the Karban Pesach of Yeshio was that they were moving in the direction of tshuva. And that's what made it so special, so unique, that it had not taken place on such a scale for centuries. A beautiful idea. Let me go to a second idea. Makas Bechoros happened b'chatzos laila, at midnight, at the stroke of midnight. What was so special about midnight that that became the time that they were going to go out of Mitzrayim, will be given permission to go, that the Bechayrim died? Halei Davaru was just coincidental. It was midnight. It could have been at sunset, at sunrise, midday. What's special about midnight? Well, we know, Kabbalistically, an idea which is brought in Halacha, that the first half of the night is Zman HaDin. The second half of the night is Zman HaRachamim. Those who say Tikkun Chatzos say it only after midnight. What is special astronomically about midnight that it becomes Zman HaRachamim? The answer is that the sun, which is not visible during the entire night, is, as we know, traveling on the other side of the earth. The first half of the night is becoming more and more distant from the location in which a person is. So that here in Brooklyn, when the sun sets, in the first half of the night, it's becoming more and more distant from where I am. At midnight, a change occurs. The sun sort of turns the corner, so to speak. It now is becoming closer and closer to me as it makes its circuit around the earth. So that midnight is the idea of coming in the right direction. We know that in Yiddishkeit, direction is everything. Where you're holding your Avodas Hashem is meaningful, but not that meaningful. The direction you're going in is much more meaningful. And the direction of a Baal Tshuva brings him to a greater level than the direction of a regular person who might, in absolute terms, be on a higher level, but is not growing, is not becoming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The idea of Chatzos Laila is the direction. After midnight, things are going towards a time of more light, more rachamim, and therefore, after midnight is a special time, the time of Zman Rachamim. The idea is the same idea as Mishru Ukuchu Lachem. Mishri Dechem Avei Dezara, be heading in the right direction. If the role is said and done, that's really what counts. Rav Tom once said a similar idea, and it was printed in the Haggadah, where they put Rav Tom's Ferad Lach. He said that in Shulchan Aruch we find that we put on Tzitzis first and Tzillin second. As a matter of fact, in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas Tzitzis is first, Hilchas Tzillin is second, because Ma'alam b'kaidish ve'emarid. We want to move upwards in kaidish. Mishagas Aryeh and Simchav Ches Yisakasha. We don't find such a concept of Ma'alam b'kaidish ve'emarid except by an individual mitzvah. If you have tefillin, you want to switch a ritzua, a strap of the tefillin from a shal reish to a shal yad, we say Ma'alam b'kaidish ve'emarid. But two different mitzvahs, there's no such concept of Ma'alam b'kaidish ve'emarid. Each mitzvah stands for itself. Del Yal Rabbi answers the Shagas Arias Kasha. Ma'alam b'kaidish ve'emarid, he says, is not talking about the mitzvah of tzitzis or the mitzvah of tefillin. It's talking about the person. The person has to be a Ma'alam b'kaidish ve'emarid. He should put on tzitzis first and put on tefillin second. His body should be moving up b'kaidish. Direction is everything. So the last 5 minutes, I'd like to remember Rebbetzin Palm, who passed away, as I believe you all know, this week. And we mourn her passing. We remember her, and those of you who are old enough to have remembered her from the time that Rav Palm was alive. Remember her as a very faithful person to Rav Palm, always looking out, watching his good, and at the same time, a feisty, outgoing woman who was very friendly to all. I'd like to recall one incident which is important to learn from. I don't think it'll make it to biographies, but nevertheless, it's something that we as Talmidim who remember the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin should try to learn from. If you remember, Rav Palm and his Rebbetzin were very different. When we went to their home on Purim, Rebbe was sitting calmly saying Divrei Torah to those around him. It was a home that could have been as far as Rambam was concerned, could have been that way. It could have been Cholamayid. The Rebbetzin would then walk in with a cowboy hat and cheerfully greeting everybody, the Simchas Purim. She was outspoken. She was somebody who expressed herself, was very friendly to all. I think the difference between the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin is something those who were close would remember. One of Rambam's children told me the following. He was the last child in the house. The others were married, and he was alone with his parents. One of his brothers had a baby, and his mother went to Lakewood for the week. And he was left together with Rebbe in the house that week. Those of you who know the Rebbetzin know she was very easygoing, happy-go-lucky. In her home, the mail for the last few days was usually on the table, but the dishes were usually in the sink waiting to be washed. She was an easygoing, relaxed person, and that's the way she ran her home. When she left Rav Palma's home, well, Rav Palma had a different nature. His son told me the mail came, Rav Palma opened each letter, took care of whatever had to be done, and finished. They ate a meal, they washed the dishes, they dried the dishes, they put it away, nothing was left lying around. And he said that he remembered thinking as a teenager, boy, when the Rebbetzin comes home, the house is going to be so different. And he told me, the minute the Rebbetzin stepped her foot over the threshold, entered the home, Rav Palma had nothing to do with running the house. It went back to the way the Rebbetzin ran the house according to her nature. It's a tremendous mussar in Shalom Bayis. Extraordinary. Because people are disturbed when the person they marry is different than them. People can't make it to a happy state if things are being done in a way that doesn't fit their own nature. We remember Rebbe and the Rebbetzin, how close they were. Rebbe's comment, the Rebbetzin was the most wonderful thing that happened to him, and his words in HaTorah L'melech, and that's really what kept him at learning and in Torah. And we picture for ourselves the fact that they were so different, and they got along. It should be a chizuk to us, we, who sometimes have Shalom Bayis issues with our spouse or with anybody who has a different nature. That chizuk that we could get, that would be a tremendous chus for Rebbe and the Rebbetzin. And as they're finally reunited in the Beis HaMedrash Shalmaila. Let me end with a question, as always. In this week's parasha, we have the mitzvah of Tefillin. As a matter of fact, we have it twice. There's a Ramban in his introduction to Devarim who clears, he wonders, if the many mitzvahs that were said in Devarim were first told to Klal Yisrael at the end of the 40 years, when the Chumash of Devarim takes place, or if Moshe Rabbeinu had told it to them earlier and it was only recorded here. The Ramban is more notem, leans towards saying that all these things were first told at this point, when Klal Yisrael at the end of the 40 years. There seems to be a problem. Because Klal Yisrael was obligated in the mitzvah of Tefillin in this week's parasha, 40 years earlier. As you know, Tefillin contained within them the parasha of Shema and the parasha of Ayam Shemaya, which are in parashas Vaschanan and Ekev. They were not even said until Vaschanan and Ekev. How can the Ramban say that those parashas were not told until after the 40 years? How else could Klal Yisrael been wearing Tefillin all this time? Seems to be a great kasha. Should make some good discussion for the Shabbos table. And with that, my time is up for this Thursday. I wish you all a wonderful Shabbos and a wonderful Chodesh Shvat.